Robot Building Supplies, helping you get the right products for the job at a better price. Summit Internet, business internet from just $99 a month. Now available in Sunshine and right across Melbourne and Geelong.
Afternoons on SEN.
Yes, it is. I hope you're doing well wherever you might be listening this afternoon on a, I can now say a sunny Thursday, at least in my little part of the world here in Melbourne. I hope you're doing well. Sam Edmund with you right up until 3 o'clock on Afternoons. Well, I'll tell you something for free. Hawthorn's $100 million world-class training base in Dingley will be a sight to behold when it is completed. It's going to take shape from early next year. And the federal government has just recently delivered the Hawks with some very good news. And a man to take us through all that and more is the CEO, Justin Reeves. Thanks for joining us, Justin.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Hey, this is a great announcement. So the federal government, they've tipped in $15 million for the Dingley and Kennedy Community Centre, as it will be known, which is great news.
Yeah, it's great news. And it's been a work in progress for a number of years. But today to get the first of our sort of, you know, government announcements across the line it's a really significant.
When will the facility actually, when do the bricks and mortar start moving in? Or we haven't obviously got to that stage yet, but have you got a rough timeline of events here?
Yeah, the plan's sort of been finalised at the moment. It's been through council, and which is great, and they've supported that. This is the first funding piece, which we've announced today, which is great. I mean, we expect to start work. There's a lot of work to do. It's a big site. You know, it's just short of 80 acres in the old. It's a big site. There's a bit of preparatory work to do on the ground, which we've started. So we've been doing those sort of settlement soil pads, as they call them, for a few months. We would hope now that in the early part of next year is actually when the project will commence.
So the federal government is great news. What about the state government funding, though? There's been a bit said about that in the last 24 hours. Are you perhaps a little bit more confident of securing that than your president might be?
We're in great discussions with the state government. Certainly nothing's been committed yet from the state government, and there's a bit to play out there. But we're confident that the project and the community facility really stands up. And I think, there's been narratives today around that the state government is really supportive of the project. But we've, until anything's finalised with the government, there's a lot of work to do. But, yeah, we're really hopeful at some stage in the not too distant future, hopefully, that the state government, as well as the local government, local council of Kingston, will get on board to what will be an amazing project and a community facility for the people in the southeast and suburbs.
I'll ask you what it's going to do for the community in a moment, but Justin, what did you think when Jeff Kennett made those claims that his negative comments about the Andrews government's hotel quarantine system had potentially cost the club funding for the development?
Well, you've got to admire Jeff. Jeff, he shoots from the hip. You certainly know where you stand with Jeff, and, going to let Jeff speak for himself. He wouldn't want me to speak on his behalf for that. But from my perspective, anyway, we know it's a great project, so we'll be talking to the government regularly and trying to secure those funds.
For those that haven't followed it super closely, Justin, in more layman's terms, should you worst case scenario not get the sort of funding you would desire from the state government, is the facility dependent on that, or can it still proceed?
I mean, the facility to be what it needs to be and to be what it can be and to make a real difference in the community sort of requires the support of all three levels of government funding.
Yep.
Hawthorn's always, we've always been in the position that we'll pay, for the Hawthorn facility. There's no question about that. We've never, ever asked for any money towards the Hawthorn side of the facility, which is probably unique within one of the clubs. But there's so much community aspect to this project that to bring that to life, we really do need the three levels of government to support it.
So tell us what it'll do for the community, if you can, Justin, because it's got education spaces, it's got indoor stadiums, community basketball courts, netball, volleyball, wheelchair as well, AFL, and all the ovals there as well, and the elite training centre. So tell us what it'll do for the southeast.
Well, I think it'll be something we've just never seen before. Sort of where the elite sport actually meets the community. And what I mean by that is, Hawthorn Football Club will be based there. We'll have our own oval, which will be our own MCG-sized oval, and our own elite training men's and women's facility for our Hawthorn men's and women's teams there. But as well as that, separate to that, and there'll be a whole community facility which will have a community ground, which will be an elite level, but not for Hawthorn. This one there will be our AFLW, our VFLW, the local, South Metro Footy League on there, the Southern Footy League. We'll be able to host games from the community there, and that has grandstand, and that'll have up to 1,000 people seated, but it'll sort of, hold up to 5,000 people around the ground. And it'll have its own change rooms and its own function rooms, and and within that facility there's community spaces. So, for instance, we partner with a host of community partners, and we've always never had anywhere host those programs. We've always had to go off-site. This will be able to bring people into an elite facility to be able to experience, from a community aspect, what it means to be part of an elite program, but to deliver community outcomes, through all of our community projects, which is awesome. Now, in addition to that, there's a high ball centre indoors, which has got, basketball courts, netball courts, volleyball courts, the like, and some sports medicine facilities and stuff for the local community. So, this will be something that, certainly the southeast of Melbourne has never seen before, and deliver, it'll be a one-stop shop for elite and community programs in Dingwich.
So obviously, from a football perspective, we're speaking to Hawthorn CEO Justin Reeves here on Afternoon. So Justin, from a football perspective, obviously there's a regeneration taking place at Hawthorn and something of a slide down the ladder this year. How are you looking towards 2021 as a club and the level of optimism you have that you can plot a path back into that finals contention relatively quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always your plan is to regenerate. And, I think, the success that Hawthorn have had over the last decade probably, is the means that while you're up and in the window, you really need to focus on giving yourself every possible chance to win premierships. And, we've been fortunate enough to do that for in the last 12 years, which I think any other club would probably swap, their achievements for that if possible. But, there comes a time when you go, okay, now we need to start planning for what the next phase of Hawthorn's success looks like. We've probably got every inch out of what we've had to this point. And we have probably a bit more of a focus on going into what we would call a development phase. Probably going to a draft a bit more, probably looking at, probably players that are more in our age bracket that are going to be there for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years to give us every possible chance of having the next the next Hawthorn premiership before too long. And we don't see that as a long time away. I think this will take us 2 or 3 years. And we have to be more than competitive in those first 2 or 3 years. But the reality is probably 2 or 3 years from now until we're absolutely challenging for that next premiership. Stranger things have happened. We've seen this before, probably 2008. Hawthorn were, 1-1 before they were quite ready. And we'll be doing everything we can to replicate that.
Obviously, Justin, being the club that you are and the success you've had, you don't lose too many, if any, players that you want to keep. I mean, were you disappointed to see Isaac Smith leave for Geelong?
Oh, yeah, I was disappointed. I really understood his decision. It sort of sounds funny. Isaac is a super popular guy in the club. He's a favourite of mine. I get on really well with him. At 32, I don't blame Isaac for thinking, I've been here for my whole career. The club is about to go through a development stage or development phase, and I've probably only got a couple of years left, while other clubs are out there talking to him, I don't blame him for that at all. There's certainly no ill feeling for me. I would love Isaac to stay because I love having him around the place, but I certainly understand his decision. And, there's a part of me that really supports it and wishes him well. Isaac will always be a Hawthorn person.
And I know the club's been here before with Luke Hodge, who will obviously always be a Hawthorn person, but would it surprise you if James Frawley, who retired not too long ago, did end up playing on at St Kilda?
From what I hear, there's a real possibility that might happen. I think that would be fantastic for Chip. Chip is, I don't know if you know Chip well, but he's one of the most popular and one of the, you know, one of the best guys to have around your club. And I think that, again, where we're going and where other clubs are going are probably different scenarios. But, you know, Chip, there's a family connection there with St Kilda, obviously. There's a lot of work going on in the Frawley name down there, which I think is fantastic. You know, Chip thinks he's got some more footy left in him, and St Kilda thinks he's got some more footy left in him as well. I hope he goes really well because he's just such a ripping guy. And, you know, we'd love to see Chip out there if he thinks that it's in his best interest.
Now, Justin, the VFLW competition obviously resumes next year. I think it's going to start in February for the first time. That's not the only first, though. Now, Hawthorn's announced, which is fantastic, an all-female coaching panel for your side, which I think, anyway, is a first in footy.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's certainly the first, AFL / VFL club that's fielded an all-female coaching team. And it's, you know, Beth Goddard, who was appointed our head coach last year of our VFLW program, and we hope that Beck will stay on and coach our inaugural AFLW team, you know, hopefully as early as next year. In our early discussions with Beck, you know, Beck is a former AFLW premiership coach. She's been around women's sport and women's football a long period of time. And she was sort of saying to us, you know, we need to create pathways for women in football. If we're actually going to walk the talk, actually, we need to create those pathways. And that's from a youth area on the field. We need to be able to drive talent in at a young age and develop that talent in an elite facility, an elite program, but also with coaching. You know, we need to be able to have more female coaches in. And there was certainly never a thought that we would be an all-female coaching program. And it was never decided that we're going to go after that. But as Beth got into it, and they started to appoint, you know, some amazing coaches.
Mm.
It looked like, hang on, Beck, you know, now all our coaches are female. And Beck was really strong with me to say that this has to be on merit. This is not a statement, a political statement. This has got to be, we're going to have the best coaches on merit. And she's picked I think is an incredible team around her. And if that's the first, which we think it is, I think that's great for Hawthorn and it's great for women's football. And we're really proud to be a part of that.
Well, Justin, been a pleasure to talk to you. You're as strong as any club in the competition off the field. Well done on all of you've achieved in that space. And I think you'd be foolish to dismiss the Hawks on field from returning into finals contention sort of anything later than the next few years anyway. The track record's just been too good historically. So thanks so much for joining us and best of luck with the new Dingley facility.
Thanks, it's a pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.
Justin Reeves there, the Hawthorn chief executive. Unfortunate that Isaac Smith left, but they got pick four in the draft. They bring in Tommy Phillips as well, Kyle Hardigan for some defensive depth, and they've got a coach by the name of Alistair Clarkson. So they'll look to bounce back next year, the Hawks, and then they'll have access to probably the best sporting facility, one of them in the country anyway, should Dingley go ahead as planned with state government funding. We're here for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And for Summit Internet as well, business internet for just $99 a month.